We read from the book of Zechariah a moment ago. I haven't preached many sermons from the book of Zechariah, but the Lord led me here this morning to chapter 13. The book of Zechariah is a book of prophecy. It describes what's going to happen in the future, the time after the rapture, the time after the great tribulation when Jesus returns to earth and sets up his 1,000-year reign. In chapter 14, Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives, and that mount is split in two. The river runs through it. Jerusalem is going to become a seaport. In the 1,000-year reign, Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the world. In chapter 13, from which we read a moment ago, in verse 2, we see that Jesus is casting down all the idols. All Israel is going to be gathered, and they're going to be told that this one called Christ, is the Messiah that you have been looking for. And as he stands before the nation of Israel, as he stands before the world at that point, and stretches forth his hands, They say, yes, this is your Messiah, but look at his hands. Look at his hands. And one person steps forward, one man steps forward and asks the question that we read in chapter 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? This morning I want to answer that question. I want to talk about the wounds that will be in the hands of Christ when he stands before Israel, when he starts his 1,000-year reign, when he stretches forth his hands, people are going to be able to look and see the wounds in his hands. This morning, I want to answer that question in three parts. Number one, I want to tell you that the wounds in the hands of Christ are wounds of substitution. The wounds that were in Jesus' hands should have been in my hands. They should have been in your hands. They should have been in the hands of every person that has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When he went to the cross, he went as our substitute. When he went to the cross, he went in our place. 700 years before Calvary, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did him esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. When Christ hung on Calvary, when he was paying the price of sin, it was not for the sins that he had committed that he paid. He did not have any sins to pay for. The Bible says that he was perfect, that he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And so when he hung on the cross, he paid for none of his sins, he paid for mine. He paid for none of his sins, he paid for yours. He bore our chastisement, he bore our punishment. The stripes on his back should have been on our back. The crown of thorns that he bore on his brow should have been on our brow. The punches of the Roman soldiers to his face and to his body should have been on our body. The spikes through his hands and through his feet should have been through ours. What are these wounds in thy hands? They are wounds of substitution. I read a story from the Civil War a few weeks ago. Story about the Confederate Army as they were in the state of Virginia trying to capture territory in the state of Virginia. There was a particular colonel of the Confederate Army that had a rule that none of his soldiers could drink. He figured that if you drunk, you couldn't soldier at the same time. And so he had a very simple rule. It was a sort of a biblical rule. He says, if I catch you drinking, I'm going to give you 39 lashes. There will be no exceptions. Don't drink, because again, if you drink, you can't be a good soldier. Well, there was a little lad, an older teenager, 18 years old, by the name of Willie Lear. This is a true story. Willie was from Tennessee. He was in this particular outfit of the Confederate Army. Willie was a child of God. He loved Jesus. He loved to tell people about Jesus. I mean, before he went to war, he was a Sunday school boy. He went to church and he visited his neighborhood in Tennessee, telling all his friends about Christ. When he went into the army, he didn't change. Every person that he met in the army, he would tell them about Jesus. Well, there's another guy in this outfit. He was a big guy. If Willie was 125 pounds soaking wet, then this guy called Jake Holcomb was 380 pounds soaking wet. He was a big guy. In fact, they called him Big Jake. Well, Willie witnessed to Big Jake. And Big Jake said, "Willie, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I do not understand. The one thing I cannot understand about the gospel is why anybody would take my punishment. Why would anybody pay for what I've done? I believe that a person ought to stand and take the punishment that they themselves deserve." Well, Big Jake liked to drink. And they took a particular farmhouse in the state of Virginia, and Big Jake found an old bottle of moonshine whiskey. He snuck it back to camp, and that night when everybody went to sleep, he snuck out of camp with his bottle and drank it all. It was good moonshine because it put him out. You say, "Preacher, how do you know it was good moonshine?" I'm just telling you the story, that's all. But it put him out. The colonel said, the colonel always liked to have sneak roll calls in the middle of the night just to make sure his men were there in camp as they were supposed to be. And so they took a roll call, and Big Jake was missing. And the colonel says, "Go find him." So he sent out several men to look for Big Jake. Sure enough, they found him in the woods with his empty bottle, passed out. They brought him back to camp, and the colonel says, "Tie him to a tree, post guards around him, because in the morning, in front of all the men, we're going to give him 39 lashes. Little Willie came to the colonel at sunrise and said, "Colonel, would you let me do something?" And the colonel said, "What's that, Willie?" He said, "Colonel, would you let me take Big Jake's whooping? Would you let me take his 39 lashes? And the colonel looked at little Willie and said, "Why would you want to do that?" And little Willie says, "He's my friend. I just want to take what he deserves." And the colonel says, "All right." So they took Willie over to where Big Jake was tied up. He was still out. He hadn't come to yet. And they tied Willie to that same tree, and another soldier gave him 39 lashes with the whip. It hurt little Willie. He didn't have much flesh on his back, and so they had to take him to the hospital tent and just sort of bind up his wounds on his back. And after a couple of hours, Big Jake finally woke up. And the colonel came up to him and he said, "Big Jake, you know what you did last night?" And Big Jake was an honest man. He said, "Yes, I do, Colonel. I took a bottle and I went out and got drunk. I know I deserve to have my 39 lashes this morning, and I'm ready to have them." And the colonel says, "Big Jake, one of the other men in your outfit took their punishment for you. While you were still out, while you were still drunk, a young man came to me and asked if he could take the punishment for you, and I agreed to let him have it." And old Big Jake looked up at the colonel. Tears came into his eyes. He says, "Why would anybody do that for me? Why would anybody take what I deserved? Why would anybody take my whooping for me? Who was it, Colonel?" And the colonel says, "It was little Willie Lear." Big Jake got up from the ground. He went to the hospital tent. He knelt down beside the cot that little Willie was laying on. He said, Willie, why would you do this? Why would you take what I deserved? I was the one that got drunk. I was the one that deserved the 39 lashes. Why would you do this for me?" And little Willie looked up from the hospital bed and he said, "Jake, because I wanted you to see that somebody can take the punishment that you deserved. And what I did for you for getting drunk, Jesus did for you for all of your sins. He took your punishment, Big Jake. He loved you enough for every sin that you've committed, every sin that separates you from God, every sin that puts you under the condemnation of death because of that sin. Every sin, Big Jake, Jesus took the price, paid the price for your sin." And Big Jake, on his knees, down beside little Willie's bed, bowed his head and asked Jesus to save him. What are these wounds in your hand? What are these wounds? They're wounds of substitution. They're wounds that we should have had in our body, but they're in the body of Christ because he went to the cross as our substitute. Number two, they are also wounds of salvation. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, as God looks down on the human race, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Pretty accurate description of mankind. Pretty accurate description of every single person in this room this morning. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that everybody falls short of the glory of God. Pretty accurate description, also a damning one. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Not physical death as we know it, but spiritual death. The wages of sin is being separated from God now and forevermore. A holy, righteous God can't fellowship with sin. That's why Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. God loved them. He created them to fellowship with him. But when they sinned, when they disobeyed God, when they ate the fruit that he forbade them to eat, they committed sin. And a holy, righteous God had to separate himself from that sin. And the price of sin has been the same ever since. The price of sin has not changed. Every person that sinned deserves to be separated from God. God knew this was going to happen. He knew that mankind was going to sin. And way back in eternity, before the first man was ever created, before the world created, God knew that man was going to sin. And a punishment for that sin was going to be separated from him. And here's what God says. I'm going to love those people. I haven't made them yet. I haven't made one of them yet. But I'm going to love them. And I'm going to want fellowship with them. And I'm not going to want them to be separated from me. I can't have sin in heaven. It can't exist in heaven. So I've got to make a way for that those sins to be paid for. Somebody's got to pay the price. Somebody's got to pay the punishment that sin has to be paid for. Somebody has to shed blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remissions of sin. Somebody who is perfect and sinless has to die for the sinner. Jesus spoke up that moment and said, Father, I love them too. I don't want them to go to hell either. I'll go. I'll pay the price. I'll shed my blood. We sing the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you this morning, it's not the church that saves you. Jesus does. I want to tell you this morning, it's not baptism that saves you. Jesus saves you. I want to tell you this morning, it's not communion. It's not the Lord's Supper that saves you. Jesus saves you. I want to tell you this morning, it's not good works that save you. It's Jesus. It's not holding on till Jesus comes. It's Jesus. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When he hung on the cross, Jesus cried out, it is finished. It's finished. The price of sin has been paid. That was the same thing that the high priest said once a year when he went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and offered the sacrifice of atonement. The same thing that he said when he offered the blood of the lamb that was slain. He put it on the altar in the Holy of Holies once a day. When he put the blood on the horns of the altar, sprinkled it on the holy seat, he cried out, it is finished. No Jew on the Day of Atonement dared to add to it. It was the Lamb's blood that paid for sin. No Jew did anything to try to supplement the blood that was shed. No Jew would do that. They knew that it was only the blood of the lamb that was killed on the Day of Atonement. It was only the blood of that lamb that paid for sin. I want to tell you this morning, it's only the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that pays for sin. We don't need to add anything to it. We don't need to supplement it in any way. It is the blood. Jesus, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is salvation in no other, just the blood of Jesus. What are these wounds in thy hand? They are wounds of substitution. They are wounds of salvation. And then number three, quickly, they are wounds of security. Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. What's he doing in heaven? The Bible says that he's our advocate. He's our lawyer. He's our go-between. There's some people that think you can lose your salvation. I guess if Jesus could die, you could lose your salvation. But since Jesus is eternal, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. He is our advocate. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He reminds the Father that it was his blood that we trusted in that purchased our salvation. In the future, when the Messiah is revealed, somebody's going to ask the question, what are these wounds in thy hands? I want you to notice the word that the Bible uses. Words are important. The Bible says we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The words that God puts in this book are important. When Jesus stands and that man or that person, that one, asks the question, what are these wounds in thy hands? They are not scars. They are wounds. You see, a scar is a wound that has healed up. A wound is a wound that is still open. A wound is a wound that still sheds blood. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb as it had been slain. A lamb that has no scars, but a lamb that still has wounds. In 1 John 1, 7, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. Present tense, not past tense, present tense, cleanses us from all sins. They are wounds, not scars. I sin. God sees it. And because of my sin, God says, you deserve hell. You deserve to be separated from me. But my advocate, who sits beside the throne of God, holds up his hands. And God the Father sees the wounds in his Son's hands. And he hears Jesus say, wait a minute, Father. Wait a minute. As a teenage boy, that preacher put his trust in my blood. That preacher prayed and asked me to save him. Father, I know he deserves hell. I know he deserves to be separated from you. But these wounds have paid the price. I read a story, and I'll close with this, about Napoleon. When he was the emperor of France, because he wanted loyalty from all his subjects, he passed a law that anyone caught in rebellion would immediately be put in front of a firing squad and shot. One day, as he sat up on his throne, the doors of the room burst open and several soldiers brought a young man with his hands tied behind his back, and they stood him right before the emperor. And they said, Napoleon, we caught a band of men that were plotting a revolt against you. The rest of them got away, but this is their leader. This is the one that made the plans. This is the one that wanted to overthrow you. And Napoleon looked at the young man. He said, is this true? And the young man was honest. He said, yes, it is true. I led a revolt. I wanted to lead a revolt and throw you off of the throne. Napoleon said, do you know what the punishment is for leading a revolt? And the young man said, yes, I do. I'm to stand before a firing squad and be shot to death. Napoleon said, at your own word, you're punished. Go out, take the soldiers. He said to the soldiers, take him out. Put him in front of a firing squad. Shoot him until he's dead. At that moment, another soldier came into the room. He had no hands. All he had were stumps on his where his hands should be. He came into the room. He said, Emperor, before you send this one out, can I have a word? And Napoleon recognized him. But the man asked, the soldier asked, do you know who I am? And Napoleon said, of course I know who you are. You're a soldier that just a few weeks ago I pinned a medal on because you gave your hands in my service. You gave your hands to defend me. You gave your hands to protect me from my enemies. Of course I know who you are. That soldier said, Emperor, this man who you have just condemned to death is my younger brother. I know he deserves to die. He knows what the punishment is for leading a revolt. He deserves to stand before the firing squad and be shot to death. But Emperor, I beg you for his pardon. I ask you to pardon him because of these, because of my stumps. Story goes, supposedly a true story, Napoleon looked at the young man and said, because of the stumps of your elder brother, I offer you pardon today. One day I will stand in the courts of heaven, and Satan, the great accuser, would come in and tell God, hey, that Manning is a sinner. He deserves to go to hell forever and ever and ever. But I have an elder brother who will be in the courts of heaven, who will open his hands and say to my God, will you pardon this one because of these, because of the wounds in my hands? And my God will say, pardon. Pardon. Not because you deserve it, not because you've done anything to justify it, but because of the wounds that are in the hands of my son, I will pardon you. Do you know that pardon this morning? Do you have that elder brother that will show his wounds on your behalf? He'll only do that if you've received him as your Savior. He'll only do that if you've asked him, if you've come to him and said, I know I'm a sinner, I know I deserve hell, I deserve to be separated from God forever, but Jesus, I believe you died on my behalf. You died as my substitute. You died in my place. And I claim your sacrifice. I have claimed your sacrifice, your death, your burial, your resurrection to make me right with God. If you've done that, one day the Savior will hold up his hands and his wounds will seal your salvation. But if you haven't, he won't. He won't. If you haven't, you're still a sinner under the condemnation of the price of sin, death, separation from God. Listen, listen. Jesus loved you. He gave his life on Calvary for you. He died in your place. He wants to pay the price of your sin. He'll do it if you let him. He'll do it for every person. He won't turn anybody away. He'll do it for you if you let him. All you have to do is understand that you're a sinner and there is a penalty for that sin, and Jesus paid it. And come and receive it. It's a gift that he offers to every single person. If you haven't taken it, will you take it this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sweetness, oh, the wonderful sweetness of the story of Jesus. The sweetness of his love, the sweetness of the salvation he offers to every single person. I pray if there's just one here this morning, there must be one in a crowd of this size. I pray for the one that might be here this morning that's never received the gift of salvation that you offer to every person. Father, this morning, would you help them see that they're a sinner? Would you help them see that there's a penalty for that sin? A penalty that you don't want them to pay, but a penalty as a righteous judge you will make them pay. But Father, help them see that somebody's paid their price. Somebody's took their whooping for them. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. Father, help them feel his love this morning. Help them listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit tells them Jesus is what you need. Jesus is your only hope. Jesus died for you. And help them in the quietness of this moment, if they've never asked Jesus to be their Savior, simply say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please save me. Please save me. And Father, if they pray that prayer, help them in just a second to walk the aisle. Tell us about it so that we could rejoice with them in the decision they've made for Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'd bless this invitation. I pray you'd speak to hearts, especially to those that don't know your Son. If they need help, help them just to come as we begin to sing. And we'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, bless this invitation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.